So now in the Innovation Show, we welcome Pete Dice, Technical Director for DCU Alpha. Welcome to the show, Pete.
Thanks very much. Good to be here, Aidan.
So I thought we'd talk about hackathons, Pete, because it's something that, it's where we met actually, was at a DAA, Dublin Airport hackathon, a couple of months back now. And I was just intrigued by the focus that you get out of that on a problem. The combined focus, and so let's talk about like your take on hackathons, the value of them, etc.
Sure. Well, we've done about a dozen of them now at DCU over the years. When I started with Intel here, talking with Ronan Furlong and Breen McCraw out at DCU, it was a natural fit, and there was another company involved, PCH, Liam Casey's company, that was doing hardware hackathons, which really fit into where Intel was heading. And the more we got into it, the more it became apparent that it's not just something which you would do, you know, for PR, for Intel or for another MNC. There's a lot of common good that can come out of it that I believe is really relevant today. And Ireland offers a lot of opportunity for a mix of functionality that you wouldn't normally get in the inside the workplace. If you look at the people who come to them, a lot of them are tinkerers, inventors, geeks, but there's also artists and there's experts in the field that provide some mentorship. But overall, you can get a man-year worth of R&D in a weekend. When you have 120 people who are focused on a particular problem or set of problems for an industry or for a city or for a sector in a city like sanitation or health or whatnot, we got a great deal out of it, a lot of personal satisfaction, but also there was quite a bit of good that came of it, even if we didn't lend to something which was a turnkey solution off the back of it, which would yield immediate some kind of result for the company or for the city, it's something where it really pushed the ideas forward, and then it would lead to further research and development or other commercial activities off the back of it. We also experimented with actually fostering new companies coming out of it, new startups. And we had a small amount of success with that. DCU offers a bit of space, right? So they'll offer office space for some of the startups which come out of it. But the one thing which we were noticing is you can't push it, right? You can't demand people to innovate. You have to have a certain amount of play and a certain amount of whimsy in it. And when you do that, you really get the spark of creativity, which becomes infectious. And not only does it take place at the event on the weekend, but it also spills over into the rest of the week, you know, and a few weeks after that. Yeah. So overall, there's huge returns off the back of it.
I used to call them forced fun days, where you know, a company will go off to an adventure park for a weekend, they'll talk strategy and everybody will get excited and then nothing happens as a result. But the hackathons is a central focus where everybody's energy is pointed at the same problem and going, we need to solve this problem. And from what I saw was with the Dublin Airport team and John Hurley from Dublin Airport was, they were very, very clear on what the problem was. They were like, here's the problems. They did their research on their side the enterprise. And I'm sure that has a massive bearing on the results.
It does, it absolutely does. So if a company or organization is wanting to sponsor one of these events, you know, they have to put themselves forward. The airport teams, right, either from the customer side, right, the passenger side, or from the airfield side, what you don't see, which goes on a regular basis at the airport, they really brought their problems forward, which was very eye-opening for all the contestants. And the contestants who were there, the participants, took it to heart. And they really dedicated themselves to those problem statements on the weekend. There were people who wanted to instrument trucks to make it easier for emergency teams and for maintenance teams to be able to get the heavy equipment out when they needed to on time. And then there was other people who were looking at, you know, different airport apps, which wound up being a call for a new website to be built for the airport to make it more usable and more passenger friendly and help the passengers through the airport in a timely manner, and to be good passengers as well, to show up at the airport on time, and you might get a free coffee on the way through. You know, simple things like that really do yield a lot of efficiency and effectiveness for operations at that airport, but also for the community that's using the airport.
One of the main things that has to come out of that is that they don't just drop it. The company that invests in the hackathon, that it's not a case of just ticking a box, as you said, the PR, because that, hopefully those days are gone. I know there's going to be some companies who do it purely for aesthetic reasons, but the ones that take that learnings, take it back to the company, go, okay, now we put an action plan, or we put some money behind these ideas, we bring them on further, must see massive dividends paid.
It is, and I've seen companies take two or three ideas back, and in some cases hire the participants as consultants after, and it's also a great hiring opportunity for these sponsors as well, because you actually get to see the potential teams who you might want to hire perform. Now, a lot of folks who are coming are weekend warriors, right? They have their day jobs and they're set and they're not going to go after it. And they are just out for a bit of crack on the weekend, you know, putting down, you know, 20 or 40 euros, you get free food for the weekend. You're in with a bunch of geeks who are very much like you. You also have other functions there like design and business people who can, you know, add value to what you're doing from a technical point of view, or vice versa, and really bring these things forward quickly. It winds up being very rewarding for both the participants and for those folks who choose to sponsor.
For folks listening who don't know about technique or the format of a hackathon, how does a common one? I know they'll all vary, Pete, but how do you see a normal hackathon play out?
Well, it starts probably 2-3 months in advance of when the event happens. The organization has to approach the DCU in this case, present the ideas of what they want to bring forward and some of their problem statements and what they're hoping to achieve. And it has to be reasonable, right? Like, you can't change the world in a weekend. Now, you can start to change the world in a weekend. And then also it does take a certain amount of pre-work for the technical teams to make sure that you have the right widgets on the day for people to build off of, right? You don't want to be bringing a bunch of sensors to something which needs a bunch of apps, or vice versa. So you also have to make sure that you have a cloud provider, because the Internet of Things is big, but in order for the Internet of Things to work out and not just to have a little local embedded device that works great locally, but it doesn't really unleash the power that you can with, you know, communications and a bit of extra data and data analysis. So you have to have all these pieces in place, and that normally takes a few workshops. And then as you start to move forward to the event, there's a lot of advertising that has to happen inside the networks of participants, and then also in the field which the sponsors are going to be pursuing, right? So you have to target all those pieces well ahead of time. A lot of people will register for the event a few weeks ahead, and then they'll show up on the day and things should magically work. But there's a lot of forethought that goes into it. On the day, though, what we normally do is we have a few speakers from the organization or from the ecosystem or sector, right? So you might have the head of the Dublin City Council, or you might have the CEO or CTO or other from the organization that's helping to sponsor it. And then maybe some quick demos of some of the ideas which they're trying to, or should I say problem statements they're trying to resolve. Now, that starts it, and that's normally a few hours on a Friday night. And then the participants line up after about a half hour of thinking it over, and they'll start to pitch their ideas. And the ideas which are being driven during the weekend are coming from the participants. So it's really a crowdsourced ideation activity on the Friday. And then after we have about 30 of those run through, we'll sit down and we'll go through a voting round with all the participants getting a vote. So it's very democratic. activity. Now we do try to steer a bit from a curation point of view to make sure that, you know, we will get something which is going to be realizable after 3 days. But normally, at the end of 3 days, you'll have 12, sometimes 10, real prototypes that someone can take forward, either as a potential business on their own or something which wraps back into the organization's flow of products or services. So during the Friday, the teams form. On Saturday, the teams come back and they start to do the design. They'll do the hardware design, the software design, the business plans. On the Saturday afternoon, they really kick it into gear, and they'll be there until 2 in the morning on the Saturday. There's normally some mentoring sessions that happen so that we have, you know, like for Dublin, we had sanitation folks and people from fire and people from healthcare come in. From the airport, as I was mentioning, from DAA, we had the teams who work on the tarmac and in the different services that help people through the airport and whatnot. So we make those teams available, and then on the Sunday, when they come in, they're finishing things up. If there's anything that has to be 3D printed, if they're doing any new types of hardware designs or lathed activity, those get kicked off on the Sunday morning. And then we normally have pitch coaches come in for the business teams to work with on the Sunday in preparation for the presentations. And that's where you were the judge at the DAA Airport Hackathon.
Yes, so there's a hell of a lot of preparation, I suppose. And you, as you said, don't bring a knife to a gunfight. You have to make sure you've got the right equipment when you show up.
Yeah, you definitely want to make sure that you have the right kit to let the participants play. If they don't have the right kit ready, then they're not going to be successful at the end.
Because I was going to ask you, right, so in the shoes of a participant, so if I show up, right, one of the first things I thought is, okay, how do I pre-prepare? Because ideally I might get a few mates or a few buddies or somebody from a meetup group and kind of go, let's put a team together and go there.
Yeah.
That'd be, for me, that's the way I'd approach it. And kind of go, okay, if we do that, we'll do a bit of preparation, we'll do a brainstorm before we go in. But when you go in, are teams put together or do they form themselves?
Well, there are professional hacking teams and we try to discourage them from coming because it is like having a bunch of professionals walking around. That might be good if there's a focused hackathon event or mini hackathon, as you're saying. You know, you want to be able to hire them for that particular purpose. But for these types of open events, ideation is good a bit beforehand. If you have your mates with you, you might want to bring them. But when you get there, you know, you may decide to split up between a few different teams because a lot of times, you know, your mates and yourself have the same function expertise, right? You might all be software programmers. You might all be cloud programmers. You might all be hardware geeks, right? Or business folks or art people, right? But when you get there, you really have to divide up in order to be successful. You might bring some amount of commonality to the event. You may even have some of the bits and pieces pre-planned. Like if you know we're going to be using a Microsoft cloud or an IBM cloud, you may have played with that already so that you're a bit more familiar with it. Now, we'll do trainings on the Saturday for the teams who are there in case they're not familiar with some of the kit which we're bringing forward to kind of help them. We'll also have hardware engineers and software engineers standing ready to help with the design and maybe, you know, give a push on the execution to make sure that the teams will be successful at the end of the day.
You get a lot out of it as a participant. I mean, if you're getting pitch coaching, you're getting, you know, mentorship.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, there's a hell of a lot of, and there's a small fee to enter, isn't there?
Yeah, like it's nominal. And the only reason we put that out there is because, you know, we don't want people just to sign up and not show up.
Yeah, or drop-offs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, you know, 20 or 40 euro will normally, you know, put people's feet in. But you do get the training. You do get free food. I mean, yeah. and it's not just pizza.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do supply pizza on a Saturday night. But there's decent food,
yeah.
You know, for breakfast, lunch, and dinner for those nights. Like, we've had homeless guys come from Cork to participate
And, which is fantastic.
And you know, they're paying their own way on, wow, on the train. You know,
because do you know what I love that, Pete? Because you know, if you're thinking of some smart city stuff or some agricultural stuff that you might be hacking on, I mean, every mind counts because everybody sees the world from different places.
And absolutely.
Go back to what you said about the pre-prepared team who may all be hardware geeks or software geeks, that they don't, you don't get that magical mix of disciplines and focus, different yeah. focused, because that's when the stuff happens, real magic happens.
The few times where we've let those teams go, they haven't done very well. They haven't performed very well. There was one with DCC. You could tell there was a bunch of mates sitting at the table, right? And they weren't really focused. They were doing, you know, what they do, but they weren't focused on the end goal, and they weren't bringing all the pieces together that they needed to be successful on the weekend. I think they kind of, you know, lost an opportunity there. I mean, I'm sure they had a good time, but they didn't walk away with a few thousand quid in their pocket.
Yeah. Because there is, I mean, every time you attack a question or a problem for the client, essentially, you're learning yourself, and if you're in a mixed discipline team, you're going to see the world a little bit from their shoes. And but I love what you said about the getting the training on the pitching as well, because the pitching often lets a lot of people down, and that kind of leads me to the question. So, do you see much drop off rate? Because when you have a hackathon, some people will just go, you know, they might lose faith in their idea, or they might go, you know, I want to go on a Sunday or something. I just want to do it the Saturday. Do you see much of that?
No, you don't, to be honest.
That's
great. You might see people on a Friday who don't get their ideas picked. You know, they may go home.
Yeah. It's like, it's my ball.
I'm taking my ball and going home. But that's okay. There's only, it's got to be less than 10% dropout, to be honest. There was, and at the airport hackathon, for instance, there was a team of folks who were there on the Friday, there on the Saturday, and then something happened and a bunch of them dropped off, and there was only one guy, you know, there on the Sunday to pitch, and he wasn't the person who was supposed to pitch, but he stood there and he pitched. He didn't do half bad, considering that wasn't his forte, and he wasn't exactly a public speaker, but it was a credible pitch at the end of the day, and I think he got a lot out of it besides a standing ovation, right? So, yeah.
That's great, and imagine for his confidence. I mean, you can't buy that.
Yeah,
well,
no.
Well, you can if you pay your 30 euro nominal fee.
No, but there's, I would say, especially some of the students from DCU who've attended, you get to know them over time, and, you know, I have an electrical engineering degree, you know, from back in the day, but you don't get that level of experience in the classroom, right? This really does round out some of what they're being taught, and you can actually see them progress, you know, hackathon over hackathon over hackathon, to the point where, you know, they have the equivalent of a few years of education, or I would say work experience under their belt from these little events that are going off. So I think between what DCU is doing in the community and what they're offering for their courses, and then with the Innovation Campus, this is like icing on the cake for what's being offered.
Because I was out, I visited Ronan Furlong out before, when it was just a shell, the building, and he painted this vision. And it's just so good to see it flourishing. And so when you saw the hackathon, you saw, you know, the startups there that are actually working there Monday to Friday. It's just, or actually Monday to Monday.
Yeah, Monday to Monday. Yeah. They rarely take any time off except to sleep.
Yeah, but it's great. And the energy in the place is just fantastic. And that was the building is just brought back to life. And so you have some hackathons coming up, Pete. Let's talk about that, because hopefully, you know, some of the listeners may get involved or may have some ideas and the themes of the hacks coming up.
Yeah, well, I can talk about two of them.
Okay, for sure, yeah.
The others, they don't want to announce yet for whatever reason.
Yeah, sure.
They keep people in suspense, I think. But for September coming up, we have something called the Biopharma Ambition Hackathon, which is ahead of the Biopharma Ambition Conference, which might sound like it's just a pharmaceutical industry getting together. But actually, it's more focused on healthcare and improving healthcare in Ireland, from the bench to the bedside. Now, there's a website that you can go to and you can Google it, Biopharma Ambition, it's one word. But MIT Hacking Health, or Hacking Medicine, I should say, is going to be one of the participants. As well, we have Intel and Microsoft, who, from a multinational company perspective, are helping to contribute some of the kit and cloud to the event. It's going to run from the 16th to the 18th of September. Also, we have a few startups coming to the event that are putting their own resources as mentors for hardware and software. And Firmwave, that's a great little startup on the south side here. And Emutex, who's coming out from Limerick, who knows quite a bit about IoT and gateway activities.
So I was going to ask you that, because we've had a few health tech, med tech companies on the show. Can they show up for that?
Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant. So it's a way of actually getting recognized as well.
Yeah. So there's different ways that med tech companies can come in, right? They can, you know, provide mentorship for the participants and, you know, bounce around like a bee from flower to flower to flower, making sure that the right ideas are being used, and people aren't going off, you know, half-cocked with bad assumptions. So it needs a validation, and that's what some of these companies can bring to bear. If there's a great idea that needs to be brought to market, then these are the companies that can help to bring them to market. Maybe not directly, maybe as part sponsor, but there's different activities there that those companies can participate in.
Yeah, and I was actually just thinking as you're saying that, like, the people who may want to get into that area, yeah, in their career, so students and maybe somebody who's looking for a career.
If somebody's looking for a job,
yeah,
right. If you show up at one of these events, I guarantee you that there is mentors and companies, and there's oodles of opportunity to network, right, and show off a bit and get to know what's going on. You actually get to know a lot of the ecosystem that you wouldn't normally see, right? Again, a lot of people wind up being pigeonholed in their little spot in their business, right? And they don't get the opportunity to look outside, even temporarily, from a professional's point of view. This does offer that mix, right, of learning and professional activity all in the weekend. So, yeah, it's a
no-brainer, isn't it?
I want to say free education, but...
But it is, isn't it?
It is.
I mean, it's just, I mean, any experience. I was told that as a kid. Never say no to an invite. Yeah. Never say no to a new experience, because yeah, it will just give you a different way of look, different lenses with which to look at the world.
And I would say, if there's any of those healthcare biomed companies that are hiring or wanting to hire, come to the event. You know, set up a stand, take resumes in. This could be easily turned into a job fair.
Because it's a no-brainer, because you're seeing how they interact with people, how they work in a team,
yeah,
how they present if they get to present.
Yeah.
And like, it's an absolute no-brainer. So that's the biopharma one. What have you any others coming up?
Yeah, there's one for energy that's being sponsored by a very large public company,
okay,
with three letters in it, that actually has to come out to my house and install some electricity shortly.
Okay.
Please, God, come fast so I can move back into my house. But
Pete's building a house, by the way, so your time is much appreciated, Pete.
Thanks. The energy hackathon is going to be about what to do around smart homes and business to make them greener. The ideas are still being put together, and the problem statements are still being put together. There's a large potential there to bring in various partners as well. So that's still shaping up. That's going to be held most likely in October timeframe. And then there's others that are coming up in November and December. And that doesn't count the ones that are coming forward in 2017. But we could do this every weekend. But the problem is, it really does drain you. You can't do it every weekend. I honestly think once a month is kind of pushing it, both from the sponsor's point of view and the participant's point of view. You want to be able to space it out a bit.
Yeah, because there's work to be done afterwards. I mean, it's not, it's like going to a meeting and then having some actions out of that meeting. in a big way, because if you're done your job right, you've probably a year's or plus worth of work or activities to happen out of it.
Yeah, and then you have to think about the commercialization aspect. If it's something which you want to bring commercially, whether it be private or public, right, that has to be thought through, and you have to have the people who are doing it or contributing to it at the beginning to have that continuity and that technology transfer happen. So there is follow-up activities that are scheduled for a few months after. I would say that, you know, we could do a better job at driving that forward, but that's something which you're going to be looking at for this year.
Okay, and so Pete, where can people find out information on an ongoing basis for hacks coming down the line and stuff like that?
Yeah, well, DCU has a website, dcualpha.ie, and you can look under the events tag there, and it will list out a few of them. The Biopharma Ambition one is coming up on the 16th through the 18th. We have an ESB hackathon, which is going to go into energy needs for the country, as well as smart home, smart business, and that's going to be in October timeframe. And then going forward in November, we have a blockchain hackathon, which is coming up as well. Looking forward into 2017, we are thinking about things like fish and the fisheries of Ireland, and then we're probably going to be rolling back through the fashion industry and then back to health before we round out the season in May and June.
Brilliant. That's a big mix of stuff coming up there. So dcualpha.ie and check on the events section. Pete Dice, Technical Director with DCU Alpha. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks very much, Aidan.